But the reason why you don't, the reason why you're not hearing B97.5, the reason why you don't hear Delilah tonight, Delilah, is because you're not a radio receiver. You can't tune in to 97.5, right? And the reason is because you're not able to receive radio waves, but it doesn't mean radio waves aren't passing right through here. Because if you had a radio receiver, I guarantee you could tune it and it would be right there playing all the hits all the time. B97.5 right there. Right there it would be. But here's the point. The reason why is because you're not a receiver. And the reason why people don't hear from God is because we're not receiving Him. We're not connected to who He is and what He's doing. And yet many of us claim to be Christians. Many of us claim to be Christ's followers. The Apostle Paul poses it this way in Acts 17. He says, he's speaking to skeptics who are very religious, and he says to them, God is present. He's all around us. And he says, you know, it's like this. He says, we're in Him and we move in Him and we have our being in Him. It would be as if he said it like this. If there was two blood corpuscles moving through my body, and let's animate them and have them having a conversation, okay? Just because I can, right? And so these two blood corpuscles are talking to each other. And one is a skeptical blood corpuscle, and the other one is a believing blood corpuscle. And the skeptical one goes, I don't believe in the Dan. I don't believe he exists. I've never seen the Dan. I've never seen any. It goes through the lungs. And I can't believe in the Dan. They go through the kidneys. I don't believe the Dan exists. They go through the brain. And the other one goes, I can't believe you even have that conversation. You're having that difficulty. And he goes, I mean, the Dan is everywhere because I've never seen the Dan. I mean, show me the Dan. I'll believe in the Dan if you can prove the Dan to me. And they're going through the liver and they go, oh, right there, this DNA, it's on everything. It's through the lungs and the heart and the kidneys and the brain. I mean, the code of the Dan is in everything we do. Can't you understand and see the Dan? We're about the Dan. He goes, I don't believe in the Dan. I can't believe the Dan exists. If you can show me the Dan, I'll believe in the Dan. But I just can't buy the Dan. I can't accept it. And Paul says it's because perhaps we're in Him and we move in Him when we have our being in Him. And all things are created in Him. And all Paul is doing is posing the conversation of how does God relate to us and who is God. And we've been taught, I think inappropriately in our culture, that God is some distant deity up in heaven and we're down here. And we talk about heaven up there and hell down there in this realm here. And it's not at all the biblical model or the biblical concept. And so what happens is the scripture tells us that we need to kind of rethink how we operate on this understanding. And the things that Josh says, I wish you knew about God, is the Word of God still speaks, and He wants to speak to you and through you. If you look on John 1:1-4, we're going to be spending most of our time in Hebrews. But in John 1:1-4, it says, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, you know this. You know the prologue of John. This is not new to you. But what John is saying is the Word of God is not a book. The Word of God is a person. And we call this the Word of God, but the actual biblical concept of the Word is in the New Testament is this. It's Logos, L-O-G-O-S. Logos. And Logos is the Greek word for the Word. And the Word of God is not a book. It's a person. It was in the beginning. It was with God. It was God. Verse 2, He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him, nothing was made that's been made. In Him was life. That life was the light of all mankind. The Greek word there, life, means zoe, the breath, the life. There's that word breath again. This life, this breath, this Yahweh, this Yahweh, this breath, this word of God was breathed into you. You were jump-started to begin to give testimony and give evidence and give proof and point to God himself. You were designed to be an evidence of God. You were designed to be the very evidence, because the breath of God has been breathed in you. That's why you have meaning. That's why you have purpose. You've been given a soul. You've been given eternity. You've been given a reason to live. You've been given breath. That breath you just took and that you exhaled was the evidence of God in your life. And at any moment that he wants you to stop breathing, you will stop breathing. You will stop breathing. You don't breathe on your own. I don't breathe on my own. It is a gift. Every breath, every heartbeat is from the Father. It is from this immovable God. And he wants to speak, and he is speaking. He is speaking right now. He's speaking to you just like the 97.5 FM frequency is moving through your head. So also is the frequency of the Father. The voice of God is moving through this place right now. And you're saying, yes, I would love to believe that, but I have prayed and God did not speak whenever I called out to him. I asked for him to speak and I didn't hear from him. But I think it's not because God's silent. I think it's because we're not tuned in. We don't know how to listen to him. And now, God doesn't always answer the way we want him to. But he is speaking. He's speaking right now. In Hebrews 4:12, and we're going to spend our time in Hebrews. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, "For the word of God is alive." The word of God, but now the word of God isn't just the Bible. I do believe the Bible certainly is a part of the word of God. I think the word of God speaks through the Bible, because the word of God is a person, right? Not a book. The word of God is a person. The word of God spoke the scriptures into existence through the power of the Holy Spirit. The word of God certainly gave us the scriptures. We appreciate the word of God for the scriptures, but the word of God is a person. He's alive. And that's what the scripture says here. For the word of God is alive and active. He's a person. He's sharper than any double-edged sword. It or he penetrates even to the dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Nothing in all creation is hidden from God's sight. We think when we hear the word of God, we think in a passive kind of way, like it's an information, like I'm studying the word of God. I'm getting information from the word of God. But the word of God speaks to you. He speaks through this and he begins to do surgical work. He begins to cut the soul and the spirit. It's in him, Paul says, that we live and we move and we have our being. Jesus says it like this in Luke 6:45, it says, "For out of the overflow of the heart, our mouth speaks," that we will speak of what's really on our heart. And so one of the reasons why we're not hearing from God, and one of the reasons why God is not speaking to us, is because we are not consumed with him. He wants us to begin to think like him, to be connected to him, to begin to think his thoughts. And it's almost like learning a language. If you think of back in the days when you maybe took Spanish in high school or grade school, or maybe some of you took it in college, and maybe you went on a mission trip and you had to use your Spanish, but the whole time you're trying to remember from years ago a few of the Spanish words that you know, and actually it comes out in Spanglish. And if you notice, when you're trying to speak to Spanish speakers, we always talk loud, like their greatest problem is hearing. Because we know they are certainly deaf. All internationals are deaf, and so we must yell at them. And so we do. But at the end of that day, we're exhausted because our brains have been trying to pull up words from high school Spanish, and they're coming out in Spanglish, and it's really bad, and we're exhausted, but we sleep like a baby that night because it's not native to us. But they tell you, whenever you become fluent in a language, you begin to dream in that language. And when you dream in that language, your mind is not racing and you're no longer tired and fatigued when you speak in the language because you're fluent in the language. And for years, I was a Christian and I would try to talk about Jesus, and he was awkward to talk about, and it was weird to talk about him, and he was stilted, and it came out in nervous, weird statements. And I just wasn't fluent in Jesus. But then I began to dream in Jesus. And when I began to dream in Jesus, talking about him became much more easy and fluid. I became fluent in Jesus because Jesus is a person. He is the Word of God, and we have to learn him as the Word of God. It's like learning a language. It's like learning to speak in Jesus, not church, not Christianity, but Jesus. They're very different. Speaking in Jesus is learning to know him and to talk about him. See, my wife does not want me to talk about and to be committed to marriage. She does not want me to be committed to the institution of marriage. She wants me to be committed to her. She wants me to love her. She would not be satisfied if I say, I'm committed to the institution of marriage. She'd say, I want you to love me. Jesus does not want you to be committed to the institution of Christianity. He wants you to love him. He wants you to be fluent in him. And you're never going to be fluent in him until you can speak about him easily and casually and commonly as a natural native part of who you are. The Word of God wants to become the word that you're able to speak. Speaking the Word of God is really what he wants you to do. And it's not by just memorizing scripture. However, that's a wonderful thing. Not against that one bit. That's wonderful. But in this particular passage, the Hebrew writer says, the Word of God is alive and sharper, and it's powerful. It does a couple of things. There's two major things it does. It says it penetrates bone and marrow. It slices right through our excuses and who we've said we are, and it judges us. There's an element in which it causes us to be different. It brings us to the awareness that we aren't who we say we are. Often we're living a disconnected, incongruent life. And the person of Jesus, the Word of God in our life, when he begins to cut through, the Word cuts through bone and marrow. It's like a surgeon's knife that cuts through and gets to the heart of the matter and heart of the area where we're struggling. And when we know Jesus, and obviously his scripture is a huge part of that, but when we know him, he begins to show us the things that we've been duplicitous about. We've had a double standard. We have a double life. We've had things in our lives that don't add up. And every one of us fool ourselves. In fact, we are our greatest enemy. One writer said, I've seen the enemy and he's in the mirror. It's who we struggle with most is us. And the scripture says that the very breath that we have, this logos, it penetrates and judges us. It is the key part that drives us. And so the very Word of God that begins to affect us, begins to drive us deeper to him and make us hungry for Jesus in a different kind of way than maybe you have been before, begins to penetrate and judge, not in a condemning kind of fashion, but in a corrective kind of fashion, where I begin to be hungry for God. And this God who maybe you talked about, you know, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, this maybe amorphous God than you've seen, and you talk about him and you discuss him theologically, he wants to become real. He wants to become personal. He wants to become the Word of God, wants to be living in you, active, alive, and vibrant, piercing through all of your excuses and all of your armor that you've been using and I've been using to defend ourselves against him. Hebrews 5:11 says, we have much to say about this, but it's hard to make it clear. You hear Paul's struggle there? I've got a lot of things I need to say to you. I need you to get this. This is really important stuff, but I can't make it clear. I don't know how to. Have you ever had trying and attempting to communicate to a child or to a parent who has Alzheimer's or dementia, or someone who is mentally challenged, and you want them to understand, please, I need you to understand what I'm saying, Mom. Please understand what I'm saying, Dad. I want to make this clear. I want you to remember this. Listen to me. Pay attention now. Can you lock in? Well, Paul, is, you hear his struggle. He's saying, I got some things I got to say to you, and I want you to hear this. In verse 12, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, this is what I want to say to you. You guys have had plenty of time to be able to teach who the Word of God is, but you still need someone to teach you. And not just to teach you, but teach you the elementary truths of God's Word, of the person of the Word of God. You need to teach you all over again. See, you need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, or being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teachings about righteousness. He says, you're going through the motions. In fact, I even noticed you're getting bored with this Christian thing. Epictetus said, it's hard to learn something we think we already know. If we think we already know the Bible, if we think we already know salvation, if we think we already know, well, I've prayed the sinner's prayer, I've been baptized, I've been serving in church, I'm serving in children's ministry, I'm volunteering, I'm tithing, I got it, I guess I got it. And Paul says, no, you can't learn something you think you already know. He said, you're still consuming milk, and I need you to move to meat. See, milk, for example, where does milk come from? Help me out. Just give me an answer. Where does milk come from? Cows. Okay. That's a good start. I'm glad you guys didn't start at the grocery store. That's good. Okay. Because some groups start at the supermarket. Okay. Cows is the correct answer, but that's not totally true because cows is kind of a general, not all cows produce milk. There's a certain kind of cow that produces milk. Dairy cows do produce milk, but the dairy cows, you can have male and female dairy cows. Mothers produce milk. Milk comes from mothers, right? Every female, you can't just take your kid down to Westtown Mall and go, hey, listen, I got to go Claire's. Can you take this baby and feed her? You know, because just every woman can't feed your kid, right? Can't, well, you know, it doesn't work that way. And well, I was a mother, but it's been like 15 years ago. I'm really not in that zone just now, right? Now, thanks, appreciate it. But you have to reproduce to be able to produce milk. So what is Paul saying? What does the Hebrew writer say? Says that only people who are reproducing can produce milk. And he's saying, I really want you guys, milk is important. Milk is really a key part of the process, but there's two ways that we talk about milk. He said, you guys are still focused on consuming milk. And the problem with consuming milk is which part of our life cycle loves to consume milk? Babies. Now, you might like a little milk on your cereal and maybe a little bit on your cookie. But here's the reason. Most of us don't like milk as adults because milk is pre-digested food. So most of you didn't come in with a big frothy flask of pre-digested food this morning, did you? I mean, you maybe had a little bit on your cereal, maybe a little bit in your coffee, but you're not just downing, you know, flasks of milk today, because in fact, a lot of us become lactose intolerant. It's a little gross to think, hey, would you pass me some pre-digested food? I'm just feeling like I need a little bit, you know? It's kind of, So maybe I ruined milk for you. I hope I didn't, but anyway. But here's the thing. You love the stuff when you're little, But Paul wants us to learn to reproduce, not just consume. He says the problem is you guys, you're focused on consuming milk. And consuming milk is what infants do. And he says, I want you to change. And unless you reproduce milk, you're not really going to get what I really want for you. And see, here's the deal. When you reproduce milk, it means you've got to learn the process of actually reproducing life. So you've got to learn how to make disciples. You have to learn to engage. You have to learn to begin to take the scripture and approach them differently, not just as a person who is consuming scripture. He says, he goes on and says, you know, is this, we need to get beyond just the basics of just salvation and eternity. He says, because a lot of you just keep repeating and going over the same old stuff, the same old stuff, the same old stuff. It's not just about talking about your salvation. You ask the average Christian, tell me your story. They'll say, well, you know, when I was saved, it was like, and they'll begin to talk about back in that day, and they were playing Just As I Am, and they said, the buses will wait, and there were only 14 people, but, you know, and then they said, and you know, come to the front, and there's a pastor down there and shaking hands, and you know, or whatever, and we have this story that we tell, but we've got to tell a different story. The story's got to be different. We've got to begin to talk about who Christ is in our life and begin to be fluent in him. And to begin to know and experience the Word of God and begin to reproduce life as we begin to have conversations with people. See, the most selfish day of my life was the day I thought I was the most mature. It was my wedding day. My wedding day, part of that, I did everything for me. If I wanted to buy a car, I bought a kind of a sports car. It wasn't a great sports car, but it kind of was. And I could spend money on records and concerts and doing the things I wanted to because that's what I did. But then the day I got married, all of a sudden, I had this beautiful person who I was now connected to, and then pretty soon, little mini-me's came along, and then now I'm not driving sports cars. I'm driving minivans, and I'm not buying concert tickets and doing what I want to. I'm buying kids stuff, and everything is about the kids. And so, you know what happened? My most selfish day was the day I got married, because that was the peak where no longer I was going to be all about me. Now I began to think about other people, and I began to be unselfish. Now, I didn't. It's not because I'm such a great guy that I became unselfish. Actually, I was a very selfish person, and then I became less selfish, but his reproduction made me less selfish. And what happens is you think you're a mature Christian if you've learned scripture, if you go to church, if you attend church. But Paul says, no, I can't even get this through to you. You've got to pay attention to this. You've got to get beyond just consuming milk. It's not about just coming and hearing what Josh has to say, even though Josh, I mean, you guys have got such an awesome pastor. He's such a great leader. He's a loving, godly guy, but he does not want you to consume. He wants to get you off the consumption wagon. He wants you to get into the reproduction wagon. He wants you to get into a different category. And it's going to be taking the fact that you realize I've got the Yahweh breath of God and the Logos of God is beginning to move in me and is beginning to penetrate and judge and stir me. And in fact, if you're being stirred and judged today, it's because the Holy Spirit of God is beginning to stir you and make you think, I've got to do something different. I'm hungry for this, because you need to be tired of just consuming this and say, I really need to begin to reproduce. I want to become a different kind of person. I want to operate differently than I have in the past. Hebrews continues on and says this. He says, Hebrews 6, 1 through 3, says, therefore, let us move beyond the elementary teachings about Christ and be taken forward to maturity, not laying again the foundation of repentance from acts that lead to death and of faith in God. Instruction about cleansing rites and laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead and eternal judgment. He said, those are important things. But he said, here's the thing. I really want you to begin to think differently and operate differently. And he said, if you would, he kind of draws this big line here. He says, I really want you to think and operate so differently that you guys begin to move to the other side of this process, where you begin to say, I want to begin to reproduce life and make that my main focus. And I'm not going to just be consuming here. I'm not going to make consumption my life. I'm going to be reproducing life. That's where my focus is going to be. I want to shift. I want to change. I want to be a different person. I want to, and he says, you've got to move beyond the elementary things. He said, you've got to move to these newer things, these different things, these things that take it, getting to know Jesus, becoming fluent in Jesus, beginning to think differently, moving beyond the basics, moving beyond just behavior modification of just kind of living in the process of just consuming. Because so oftentimes when we just consume, we're still just thinking about our behavior and how we behave. I've got to be a better person. I've got to be a more moral person. That's the milk version of the process. He says, I want you over here on this side. I want you reproducing. I want you to learn to know who the Word of God is. He goes on and says in Hebrews 13, 15, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of adoration and praise, the fruit of lips that openly profess his name. And what he's saying is, he says, I want you to have the sacrifice of adoration and praise.
It's kind of soaping it up here. The sacrifice of adoration and praise versus just living over here on this side of the thing where I'm consuming and just kind of doing my own thing. And so many of us pray in what I call an IHAP way. Our prayers are, it's going to happen anyway kind of prayers. It's like, we pray, oh God, bless us today. How do you know if God, what does that mean? God, keep us safe on this journey. God, help us. I mean, most of the people in the world, the way we pray, they wouldn't even understand when we say, oh God, keep us safe. Make us, God bless America. Help us to have an easier life. I mean, oftentimes we're not even asking for anything substantial because our prayers are consumption-based prayers about us and us for no more and what's important to me. And Paul is saying, and the writer of Hebrews is saying, we need to move to this side to realize every breath that we have comes from the breath of God in us. The word of God, the logos of God wants to penetrate and to judge and to move us so that we begin to reproduce. So we begin to understand that we can have a sacrifice of adoration and prayer and praise. And so we can learn to speak and know who Jesus is and speak about him and have a different orientation. So we actually know the word of God and move away from just being a consumption person and praying. It's going to happen anyway. Prayers, which doesn't really require much of us because we sin to so much on behavior modification and praying thin and shallow prayers that really don't move us forward in what God is about or his economy or who he is, but learning to begin to realize the very breath of God is in your lungs, coursing through your lungs, moving you, motivating you, challenging you to begin to think differently and operate differently. To realize that we're in him, we're connecting with him, we're having our being in him. He is changing us. He's moving us. He's motivating us. So which of this equation are you going to be a part of? You're only when you reproduce and start growing are you going to become less selfish. Only when you reproduce and start growing, begin to invest in other people as a disciple maker, will you really begin to experience the word of God in a powerful way, because the word of God is not to be read, it's to be experienced. But as long as we're just consuming pre-digested food, and it's great that pastors help you out and give it to you, but that's not designed for you to have for a lifetime of consumption. When we begin to ask God and trust God for something bigger than just it's going to happen anyway kind of prayers. And it's interesting. He says, you got to get beyond just behavior. So many of us are focusing on how we behave. God, help me to behave better. God, help me to be a better Christian. He says, those are the elementary milk-oriented things. And that's the wrong side of the equation if you've been at this thing. Now, if you're a brand new Christ follower, that's not who that's to. This is to people who've been around the block, who's been following Christ for several months, maybe even a year or 2 years. If you've been in that process of following Christ for a few months or a year, he longs for you to be on this side, to know him, to know the word of God, to experience the word of God, to let him breathe his life into you. I'm going to ask you just to bow your head and close your eyes and take a moment if you would. Would you just right where you are, just say, Father, maybe you just need to say, Father, I have been totally missing you. I've been taught and been living in a way that just thinks I need to just consume. But that's not what the scripture and what the writers of scripture would challenge us to do. And that's not what Jesus wants you to do. Jesus wants you to just to do more than just to be a consumptor of milk, but to actually be a person who will reproduce milk, to actually begin to invest in other people, begin to take a step where your life will begin to matter and your life will begin to count. You'll begin to connect with other people. You'll begin to have milk conversations with them. And the milk conversation is just where you take your story and your life and you begin to reproduce it, and you just begin to share it in a way that other people can hear it and understand it and connect with it. So as you begin to think about milk, how are you going to reproduce milk? It's your story of what God has done in your life. If we were to ask you here to turn to someone else and just share what Jesus has done in your life,
the last week, what would you say? What would you do? We oftentimes take the easy route out and invite people to a church service or to an event. But the Father wants you, and he wants me, to take the scripture, the meat, the experience, the time we spent with Jesus, the time we've become more and more fluent in him, to take the message from the pages of scripture and begin to take them and digest them in a way where they're going to come out in a milk conversation. So a person who doesn't have a digestive system can understand and hear. A person who doesn't have the capacity to understand and digest who Jesus is will be able to hear your story, hear what Christ has done in your life, begin to connect with you, begin to ask questions, so you begin to start making a disciple and investing in another person. But until you take that step to say, I no longer want to be a consumer of milk, I want to be a reproducer of milk. It's only maturity of knowing the Word of God as a person and then looking at who he is in Scripture and digesting that and beginning to talk about that, that other people are ever going to hear who Jesus is in your life. It's the only way people are going to be able to hear something different from just going to church. Because so many people in this area are so caught up in church attendance. The Scripture reminds us that it's not about that. That keeps us stuck on the consumption side, the milk side, the dependency on the basics. And the writer of Hebrews begs us and says, I really long for you to get something deeper than what you've been doing. It's time for you to step up. It's time for you to grow. Now, if you've never heard of Christ, you don't know, you're just early in that journey, we're glad you're here and you've been able to overhear what we've been talking about. We'd invite you to take a step toward Christ too. But in reality, every one of us need to take a step toward him. Say, Jesus, the Word of God, we want to learn to speak your word. We want to speak about you. We want to be fluent about you, Jesus. We want to begin to take your word, the Word of God, the living Logos, and begin to talk about him. We thank you, Father, that we have in the pages of Scripture the story and that we've been given this amazing text to begin to point us to and guide us to the Word of God, that we can know him and we can embrace him, we can experience him. We thank you that he is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword, that he's able to divide through bone and marrow and joint, and he's able to penetrate. He's able to speak right here, right now, today, in ways that we have to hear from him. Father, we become desperate people because we are so hungry for you. And we cry out to you, Jesus. We long for you. We need you. Speak to us. Speak, Word of God. Speak to us. We long to hear from you. We long to be able to speak your word and speak about the word because we know him. We're fluent in him. Jesus, we love you. We thank you that you've met us here today and that you are reaching out to us right where we are. It's in your powerful name we pray. Amen.